Adios, amigo.
Listen, stranger. Did you get the idea? We don't like to see bad boys like you in town. Go get your mule. You let him get away from you?
You see, that's what I want to talk to you about. He's feeling real bad.
Huh?
My mule. You see, he got all riled up when you went and fired those shots at his feet.
Hey, you making some kind of joke?
No. You see, I understand you men were just playing around, but the mule, he just doesn't get it. Of course, if you were to all apologize... I don't think it's nice you laughing. You see, my mule don't like people laughing. It's the crazy idea you're laughing at him. Now, if you apologize, like I know you're going to, I might convince him that you really didn't mean it.
Shut the fuck up, Donnie.
I know it was you, Fredo. You broke my heart. You broke my heart.
60% of the time, it works every time.
Do something about this immediately! 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 Harumph! 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 Harumph!
What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down.
Toga, 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 toga.
You are now listening to Cinema Thrust Officer.
Welcome to episode 124 of Cinema Crespediso. Thank you very much for downloading and checking us out. We appreciate it. If this is your first time listening to the show, welcome. If this is your 124th time, welcome.
And I apologize in both ways.
And Drew apologizes for both. That's my co-host, Drew Cogburn. Drew! Drew's apologizing ahead of time for whatever shit may come out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough.
A lot of shit comes out of my mouth there.
You know, more people should just pre-apologize.
Listen,
Instead of saying something stupid and then waiting for people to get mad or offended or butthurt.
Listen, I'm sorry. I'm going to say some really obnoxious and retarded things. Don't take it.
Example, you just use the R word.
Yes. I apologize.
You already did, though.
I know.
So now, so what's that apology for?
I don't know. Good question. I rescind said apology.
Oh!
I have the power to do that.
Yeah, you do, sure do. But it's already out there. The apology's out there.
So is the rescinding. Both on the interwebs forever.
Forever.
Or until someone decides to delete it.
Or until the whole cloud thing, electronic thing shuts down and
all
of our art disappears into a bunch of one and zeros into the ether.
All we need is a well-placed EMP. We can do that.
Yes. EMPs. They're cool. Mm-hmm. Emps vs. Orcs. That's a new sci-fi original film where EMPs take out the world, and the only thing that can save the EMP, which is now a thing somehow, are the orcs because they're tree people.
Okay, sure.
EMPs can't shut down tree people.
If you say so.
They're trees, man.
If you say so.
Well, you know.
No,
the most important thing we're going to do, I'm going to do it right up the top of the show. The most important thing to do is to ask Drewster Cogburn for this week's tip on how to cook with duck fat. Drew.
Use it in place of any sort of fat, whether it be butter or oil, margarine. Mm-hmm. I mean, slather it on toast.
So if I was making, I made some pancakes today.
Yes. You should have used that instead of butter.
Instead of butter. Uh-huh. Should have just cooked the...
Yep. Should duck fat
pancakes. The cake of the pan in the fat of the duck.
Yes.
Yes. Will it make it taste more ducky?
Probably not.
Will my pancake taste like Huey?
Dewey and Louie?
Yeah.
No. No. Maybe a little bit like Launchpad.
He looks gamey. He's all like big and his muscles are all stretched out.
Yeah, these aren't baby ducks, though. Although I'm sure they would be more delicious than full-grown ones.
Right, because they're lacking of cynicism and jadedness. They're still pure. They're young.
I don't think that's why.
Isn't that why they taste
better?
But
it could be. It could be.
They're not all strung out with hate.
You never know.
So use duck fat in place of...
Any fat.
Any type of fat.
Any sort of fat substance, yes.
Any fat substance. Uh-huh. All right, well, that's your second episode of Cooking with Duck. That's DuckCast, hosted by Duckster Cogburn. We appreciate it, Duckster.
You're welcome. Still got about a half pound of that duck fat in the fridge, by the way.
Oh, well, then let's duck it up. Yeah. Let's do it. You know what goes well with duck fat?
Duck.
And?
Box office recap.
Yeah, sure. By the time the box office recap comes around, the duck fat's going to be rendered and ready to go. Got to pop it in the pan right now. Yeah. Nice warm pan.
Netflix is the pick of the week.
Here we go with that thing. For the entertainment that you see, it's time for the Netflix pick of the week. The Netflix instant pick of the week. That's right, Netflix instant pick of the week. You can check those out at chriscresswell.com. We do them every week. I usually post them up on the website on Mondays. You can go back and check out all the past Netflix instant picks of the week. It's all good stuff. Juicy Cogburn is using the randomizer 9000. He's talking about getting a new randomizer. I think this one works perfectly fine, but he's ready for a new one.
We need to upgrade this one.
He's ready for another one. Okay, well, it's up to you, bro. You can upgrade. I'll leave that up to you, co-producer.
All right, Chris.
Produce. Oh, okay, here we go.
This movie.
I was going to keep you on.
It's from 2007.
2007. The year of There Will Be Blood and No Country for Old Men. Will Be Blood has been a past Netflix instant pick of the week. No Country for Old Men's not on there.
It's rated R.
So are those movies. Man, what a good year.
It's 2 hours long.
A wonderful amount of time for a movie.
You rated it 5 stars.
Oh, that's got to be like a 4.5, 4.75 type of situation. 5 stars. 2007. It's not There Will Be Blood, right? Because that's already been chosen. And it's also not 2 hours. That's longer than 2 hours.
I'm going to go from the cast from the bottom up.
Okay, give me one name.
Billy Whitelaw.
Billy! Give me another name.
Bill Nighy.
All right, a lot of Bills. 2007, Bill Nighy, R-rated. Is that too late for Hot Fuzz?
No, it's not.
Hot Fuzz?
Yes, sir.
Hot Fuzz. Hey, I'm going to get... Where's the... I'm going to get it. I should have had this right there because I think it's one of those. Wrong one.
That gets the Nazis. Hot Fuzz gets the Nazis.
Yeah, Hot Fuzz. Edgar Wright's Hot Fuzz, the second film with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. Mm-hmm. And that one is a send-up of American action movies. Specifically, they point out specifically Point Break and Bad Boys 2.
Oh yeah.
If you're a fan of those movies at all,
you will love Hot Fuzz.
Yeah, because they know what they're talking about. Yeah. You know, when they spoof that stuff, they know what they're doing. And it's a great movie. It's a lot of fun. It's a cool like murder mystery type thing because Peg plays an awesome cop who's so good that he's making all the other cops look bad in London. So they manage to transfer him to some sleepy little town out in the middle of nowhere where murder rate's zero, right? And but he's like, oh shit, there's something wrong with these people here. Things are crazy.
And
he uncovers a whole conspiracy thing. A lot of fun.
Yeah.
In this movie, remember that dude, the big bald dude that goes yarp?
Yeah.
That's all he says? Mm-hmm. That's the Hound.
Yeah.
It is. I just realized that recently.
Totally. Imagine it with facial hair and actual hair. Yeah, it's totally him.
That's the Hound from Game of Thrones. Yeah. So there you go. If you're like Game of Thrones, check this movie out for a different take on the Hound.
Yarp.
He
still does pretty much the same thing, though.
A soft brain kind of guy.
He's just the muscle.
He is just the muscle. Yeah. Much less eloquent muscle. Because he's not talking all Game of Thrones-y.
No.
Awesome movie. A lot of fun. Let me write that down. Hot Fuzz. The fuzz are coming for you. Let's get into that box office recap, shall we? What do we got, Drew? Where are we starting?
We are starting at... starting back. number five.
Yeah, that makes sense. That is the top five. Here we go.
All right, number five this week, Avengers Age of Ultron.
All right, still making money.
I had a weekend gross of just over $20 million for a total domestic of $404 million.
Wow, so it's already, I don't think last year, what was last year? 2014? We did not have a single movie that made $400 million domestically last year. The highest grossing films were American Sniper and The Hunger Games.
Yeah,
and they both made around $330-350.
Worldwide, Avengers Age of Ultron is sitting at a whopping $1.14 billion.
Wow. Good golly. That's got to be number five or number six all time right there, because I know for fact Furious 7 at 1.4 is number four, and then it's Marvel, Titanic, Avatar. Which no one talks about that movie.
Nobody cares.
No one cares about that film. It made all that money.
Uh-huh.
And all these years later, like, no one gives a fuck.
It went and it went and it went. And then James Cameron was like, yeah, I'm making more. And then...
at least three more. Where are they? 2017, 2018, 2019?
So this is the
way... is the planned release dates for two, three, and four?
The way...
because he's making them all at the same time?
In my eyes, Avatar has gone the way of Entourage.
Oh, yeah. It's too long. I don't care anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah, sure.
It's been too long. Avatar 2, do not care about in the slightest.
Yeah.
Don't give a fuck.
Well, it's coming.
Just like this Entourage movie, in all reality, I don't care about it, really, but don't. I have to see it.
Because it's going to be there. What else is playing that weekend?
Well, that and I guess Nostalgic Drew wants to see it.
Nostalgia Drew.
You know?
Nostalgia Drew or Nostalgic Drew?
Sure.
Nostalgia Drew. Drewstalgia. You're inflicted with that Drewstalgia. You know, is what that is.
Coming in number four this week, Poltergeist.
The Poltergeist.
The Poultry Geese.
The Poultry. Oh, don't say it.
Geese is poultry.
That's an actual movie, I think.
Yes, I'm sure. Had a weekend box office of about $23 million. Same as total.
$23 million PG-13 horror film remake. That's probably a little less than they wanted.
Mm.
They were probably hoping for a little closer to $30-40 million opening weekend. Obviously, they want as much money as possible. But with expectations, I think that's maybe what they're shooting for.
I don't see why.
To go for like 40?
No.
Because it's based on something that exists, that's got internal built-in audience cachet type thing. It's PG-13. A $20 million opening for an R-rated film would make more sense.
But there's really no buzz for this movie.
There wasn't. They didn't build any.
No.
Maybe they didn't believe in the movie enough.
Well, I see why.
Yeah, we saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead. So what do you think?
It was pretty much the same movie, just updated for the times and effects.
It is pretty much the same movie. Yeah.
I mean, if you've seen Poltergeist,
yeah,
you're going to see Poltergeist.
Yeah.
There's
nothing new,
nope. Uh-uh.
Like story wise, no. Or ideas or anything.
No, just some crazy effects.
Yeah,
the inside of the world. We didn't get to see that really last time.
Right. Yeah. Well, it was okay. It was sufficiently creepy looking. I guess.
Yeah, it was super creepy.
Pretty CG looking though. It's like it never looked real.
It looked like.
But then it's an otherworldly thing.
It looked like leftover CG stuff from Drag Me to Hell.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, Sam Raimi produced it.
Yeah.
Same production company.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I thought it was okay as a movie. Maybe the problem is that it is a movie that I've seen already.
Yeah.
Just not with different actors. And
slightly updated for the times.
Yeah, slightly updated. Now there's tablets.
And drones.
And a drone. Use a drone. Second movie this weekend we saw with a drone.
Yeah.
With drone action being used by a handheld device. Not even a remote control, but either a phone or a tablet.
Tablet.
Yeah. Yes. 2015, guys.
Here we go.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah, so, I didn't not like it at any point. You know, I was like, they're doing what they're setting out to do. It's just nothing was surprising.
I mean, yeah, they were, they did what they set out to do. They made a remake of Poltergeist.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not what I wanted.
Yeah, maybe not. I guess not, because it really didn't do much for me.
Yeah, no.
I could just be like, you know. I mean, Sam Rockwell, yeah, he's cool and all.
Sam Rockwell did a great job.
But Coach Dad was pretty good, too, in the first one.
Even those little kids were creepy.
I thought the girl that they got for Maddie, I was like, this girl's doing pretty good.
Yeah, same thing with the little boy.
Yeah, I mean, these roles could obviously easily be annoying, grating. You know, you get the wrong kid actor in there, and it's like, oh, this kid's terrible. But they all did fine. Everything was fine about it. Maybe that's just it. It was just, the whole thing was just fine.
Yeah.
It was never, it never really went for it. Like, even the, like, it's, in, all right, so in the original, you got the scene where Coach Dad's looking in the mirror and he has that freak out, the hallucination, where he's, like, yeah, clawing at his own face and he's ripping it off.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very insane image for a PG film. And in this one, instead of doing that, Sam Rockwell, he, like, takes a swig of some booze and he spits out a bunch of, like, black, thick soil and earthworms. And then, and hit the reflection in the faucet, you see it's like starts coming out of his nose and his eyes and stuff, which is sufficiently creepy looking and weird. But I almost like the original one better because he's like pulling his face apart. It was all like a steady shot. There's no like obscured reflection type thing. I don't know. It, and then it's like the same thing. It's just the same thing, but it's just different. And it's not necessarily better.
No.
Not even necessarily.
It's not worse, but it's not better.
Yeah.
It's just a different take on the same story. Thing.
It's like maybe if you guys had just made your own whole new haunted house type thing.
Yeah.
Like we saw that trailer for Crimson Peak.
That looked sufficiently creepy.
That was the best part of going to see Poltergeist, I think, was getting to see that trailer in the, on a big screen. It looks like there's going to be a lot of blood.
A lot. Yes. And that house just looks insane.
Yeah, it does. Looks crazy. And I guess parts of it are alive?
Literally, yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's a living thing.
Yeah.
With, like, fluids.
And, like...
And desires and hungers.
Has, yeah, I was about to say, it has to feed, it looks like.
That's going to be a crazy movie. October!
Coming to number three this week.
Wait, okay, but so Poltergeist, guys. So, I mean...
I don't care. You shouldn't either.
No, but I'm saying, so no one should even bother watching at all, you think? Not even Redbox it? Not even wait for TV?
If you have seen the original Poltergeist... And you liked it.
Which I think it's still on...
you're
Poltergeist is on the Netflix.
You're not going to dislike this movie. It's just... It's nothing new. It's nothing original. And if you're familiar with the story, then you know exactly what's going to happen. I mean, it's Poltergeist.
Yeah.
Personally, me, I would have been completely happy living my life without seeing the remake.
Not having to see, just see, stick with the original.
No, because the original's good enough.
Doesn't make your life any better?
Nope.
All right. Yeah, I mean, like, if you're a real horror fan, I guess, like, you're dying to see it, Redbox it, don't run out to the theater, you know. But, it's really no big whoop. Let's see what's going on here on the, I'm trying to pull it up here on the Rotten Tomatoes. Out of 75 reviews, not that many reviews, 33% are positive.
I could see that.
4.8 out of 10 is your average rating. Says here, paying competent homage without anything adding anything of real value to the original. That's exactly what I was just saying. This remake proves just as ephemeral, but half as haunting as its titular spirit. Titular, yeah, you know.
Sure, why not? Sounds about right.
Yeah, it was Poltergeist. Yeah, maybe you should just watch Poltergeist instead.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're gone. Let's move on.
Coming in number three this week, your favorite movie and mine, Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh, so good.
Made an additional $23.8 million for a total of $87.3.
All right, not bad. Not bad. If it holds on with strong word of mouth, if more people keep going out and telling their friends to see it and whatever.
Tempted to go see it again.
Gotta go see it again. It might be able to make it to $100 million here. In the domestic box office should be able to crack 100 million if it's already at 87.
Well, this weekend, hang on.
I mean, the thing is, with summer, every weekend there's more movies coming out, at least two movies coming right out now, per weekend for the next 2 months.
Well, domestic,
so it's going to be losing screens.
Domestic, it's got 44, international, it's already got 65, so we're worldwide, we're already at 109 million.
I think that was as of last week.
I think that's this week.
You said domestic 44, but it's at 80-something, 44, 87, you just said?
Yeah.
Because it just made another 20. And it's making money during the week. Don't forget those Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
So yeah, it's still over. It's over $100 million worldwide already.
Oh, yeah. It costs them like $150 to make. Figure another $100 to market. They got to make at least $250, $300 to start breaking even. So shoot for $450, $500 worldwide.
I hope it does it.
Yeah, we're going to see. Hopefully, because then they'll make more of these crazy movies.
This could be the sleeper hit of the summer. This movie could just chill at like number five or six for the rest of the summer.
That's true. It could. That happens.
No.
And this will be the perfect type of movie to do it because of the word of mouth. People are like, have you seen it yet? Go see it.
No, exactly. People, you, seriously, you haven't seen Mad Max? What are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah, for real, guys, this is not the second weekend it's been out. If you haven't seen it yet, what are you doing? Go see it. Here we go.
Coming to number two this week, Pitch Perfect 2.
All right.
Had a weekend gross of $30 million-ish for a total of $117.8.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Already, I believe, outgrossing the entire domestic run of the first film. Yep. Because it was the type of movie that it caught on like HBO and DVD and stuff. Yeah. The word of mouth after theatrical is where that... It's kind of like Austin Powers.
Okay.
First, Austin Powers didn't make no money in theater. But then it went on video and people were like, oh, shit, this movie's great.
And then they made a whole lot more.
Yeah, and then the second one came out and made a shit ton of money. And all based on the love of the first one. Yeah. That's how that works. That's what's going on there. So, Pitch Perfect 2. We haven't seen it. I actually haven't seen the first one. You saw the first one.
I saw the first one. The first one was good.
Yeah, it's good. Maybe one day Drew will get around seeing on Redbox or something.
Oh, when it comes out on Redbox, I'm totally going to rent it.
Drew's going to check it out. So there we go. And that was number two.
And number one movie of the week, Tomorrowland. Had a weekend gross of $32.1 million, same as the total.
All right, Tomorrowland. The PG movie, is it the only... Is there another family movie that's out? Maybe DreamWorks' is Home, right? It's still out, but it's been out for a while. Avengers is sort of a family movie because all kids want to see it.
Yeah.
But I guess, for a real family movie, Tomorrowland's the only one that's out there. So you would think that with having the market to themselves would make more money than just slightly over $30 million. They're probably shooting for like $50 million. I think it doesn't help that the movie... The marketing for the film was a little muddled. The marketing never really told you what the movie was about.
Mm-hmm.
The marketing was always about a girl finds some other world through touching a pin, and then George Clooney is there. He's like, you want to see Tomorrowland? Well, here we go. And then there's jetpacks.
In all reality, that is the movie, though.
The movie, though, it doesn't touch on at all about the end of the world, about the whole theme of the optimism and the allowing genius to breathe and do its thing, stuff like that. None of that is in the movie whatsoever.
Yeah.
Just a lot of quick flashes of stuff and action and weird things and robots. And then the movie, it doesn't help that the movie itself was that.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah. I mean, yes, it goes for all of those big themes.
A lot of big, the movie's saying something.
Tries to, because...
It just says it in kind of a dull way.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Because people are constantly turning around and proclaiming stuff.
About, all the time.
Girls all about changing the future. Like, yes. Why can't we change these problems? Change it. We got to work to change the world.
What's the answer? I know everybody has all these problems. Let's answer these problems.
Yeah, exactly. And all that stuff. And
let's fix it.
It's... This movie. It's a weird one because I like the way it looked for the most part.
Yeah. I like the idea behind it.
Some good ideas behind it. The the action stuff was all cool. I liked a lot of the design elements, but just something about the way that the movie is told. I want to dig into it more to see what went wrong there, because it just feels the whole time there's no life to anything.
Yeah.
Right?
I know.
It's like, I don't want to say by the numbers, but it's like people just showed up and just did their thing and no one really believed in it. It was kind of weird, except for Brad Bird. He's the only one out there that was really believing in what he was saying. Everyone else was just making a movie.
Yeah. He really didn't feel it.
No. No, the movie never got me.
And it tried to. There was lots of talky-talking.
Yeah,
flash, flash.
Pushes for it. Yeah, it definitely gets emotional, sentimental and stuff. And just some George Clooney crying over a robot. It's just kind of weird.
Not just a robot. Old George Clooney crying over a seems-to-be young robot girl.
Who knows how old young robot girl is?
Oh, super old.
I did like how towards the beginning they used "There's a Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow."
Mm-hmm.
There's a great big beautiful tomorrow from the Carousel Progress.
Yeah.
Never saw the Carousel Progress, so I was hoping that they would at least for a second.
Saw Small World for just a second.
You got to see Small World. Wondering how they incorporated that at the original World's Fair. I like all that. It was fun.
Yeah,
but.
It didn't.
Like, why?
I wanted to see more of actual Tomorrowland.
Yeah.
I don't want to give anything away.
But that's the thing, though.
You want to see. That's what you want to see.
That's what you want to get into.
A tease.
It is. That's what I'm saying. It's like that. They didn't really tell you what the movie is about in the marketing.
Mm.
They made it seem, we're going to go to Tomorrowland. We're going to spend a whole bunch of time there. And not really.
No.
No.
Barely any, actually.
First, Keegan-Michael Key has a show up in a Rasta wig and a fake belly.
Yeah, and then he gets kind of, well,
and gets all crazy. It's weird.
Yeah. It's weird. I was waiting for Peele to show up.
Yeah, you know, don't those guys always...
Yeah, rock together, huh?
What the hell? Yeah. So this is the beginning of the end?
Maybe.
So it's definitely like, man, I mean, theater-wise, money-wise, I'd say save your money. It's a Redbox type thing. Watch it at home. There's things about it to like.
There's plenty about it to hate.
Yeah, it's just... It's somewhere in the middle there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of disappointing. Kind of disappointing. Oh, well, what are you going to do?
Go watch Mad Max.
No one's perfect. Yeah, go watch Mad Max instead. New movies coming out this week. New movies. We have The Sweet Blood of Jesus. What's The Sweet Blood of Jesus?
Wine.
You may be asking. It is wine. It is the...
It's wine.
I was gonna say the crucifixion, but it's not. It's the communion.
Yes.
It's a Spike Lee movie that he made on the low with the low budget a couple years ago.
And it's about wine.
It's about a vampire. It's a vampire movie.
Okay. So how is Jesus involved?
I don't know. You gotta watch the movie to find out, bro. Maybe the guy's a pastor or knows a pastor or goes and sees a pastor.
Maybe Jesus was the first vampire.
Maybe Jesus was the first vampire. They already did a movie where Judas was the first vampire.
We should make a movie with Jesus as the first vampire.
That's the first.
I like it.
All right, sure. And I remember when this movie came out, some people were like, this is a remake of a movie called Ganja and Bess, which is a blaxploitation 70s vampire movie.
Okay.
And Spike Lee was like, no, man, no, this is my thing.
And it totally is
But it's a remake of this other movie. Kind of weird.
And it's strange.
Also coming up, that's The Seventh Son.
Hey, that movie looked really weird.
Yeah, looked pretty bad.
Strange old Jeff Bridges. Can't wait till it comes out on HBO.
And I can tell you for sure really bad coming out on DVD is the movie The Loft.
Yeah.
The Loft. Not good. Not good.
It happens.
What's coming out? What's playing in theaters this weekend, Drew?
That movie that we saw at the Florida Film Festival, Results,
uh-huh.
is supposed to come out.
With Colby Smulders.
And Guy Pearce.
And Kevin Corrigan.
And Giovanni Ribisi.
And...
That's the movie.
Yeah, I guess there was no one else of note. Of note! No. Yeah. That was a fun movie.
Yeah, that's
right.
What it was.
It was right. It was an Andrew Bujalski rom-com.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what that means, you are a film nerd.
Also coming out this week, the new Cameron Crowe, Aloha, with Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, you know, I've read some things that not promising. Really? First off, it's not a good sign where there's only one. They never put out multiple trailers for it. They only made that one trailer.
Yeah, they did.
So they're not putting much in marketing, which means they don't believe in the movie very much. Also, it's a movie that was produced at Sony under Chairman Amy Pascal. A few months ago, she left, and they put in a new guy, Tom Rothman, who he ran Fox in the late 90s and throughout the 2000s. And he's responsible for X-Men The Last Stand. So what happens often is when there's a changeover, the power structure like that, the new guy doesn't do much for the old person's movies because they would rather let those movies just go away. Because if they promote some, they bomb. It's like, well, that all of a sudden becomes his responsibility.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want him to make that much money because then it gives him a lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. You know, that's very typical Hollywood politics. So that's not a good thing. And then also, remember the Sony hack, the email
yes.
hack from when all that info was stolen and put online? One of the emails was from Amy Pascal, who was running Sony at the time. And it was something, there's this one line that people keep quoting where she said something like, no matter how much you like the director, no matter how much you like the actors, I will never, ever greenlight another movie again with a horrible script. So apparently, she didn't like the script, but she liked all the players involved.
So
and thought they could save it.
And they didn't.
And then it was testing horribly in December, and she was like, oh, this movie's a big piece of shit. But then I've read that since then, the movie's been, there's been some reshoots. A little bit of re-editing, some rejiggering, some new test audiences, and it's scoring a little better.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they salvage it. Maybe it's a good movie.
Maybe not.
Movies like Fight Club, they tested horribly with audiences, and then ends up being fucking Fight Club.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So the reading the tea leaves is always tricky.
And you want to talk about maybe a giant hunk of shit. San Andreas comes out this weekend with The Rock.
From the director of Journey to the Center of the Earth 2.
With The Rock.
And Cats and Dogs, colon, the something of Kitty Galore? The Tale of Kitty Galore?
No idea, sir.
The Cats and Dogs sequel.
Okay.
Yeah. This guy, Brad Peyton, it's his third film. Journey 2 made over $100 million here in the U.S. on a very low budget. That's why he got to make this movie. And it looks like he's trying to do his best Roland Emmerich. Because Roland Emmerich's like, I'm going to destroy something else. You destroy California with an earthquake.
Yeah.
I'm working on destroying the world again with aliens.
Sweet.
Independence Day.
Yeah.
Tuesday. I have no...
No.
I have no expectations, no hope for this movie. Nope. The only thing that I'm looking forward to is seeing how The Rock fights an earthquake with a helicopter. Because that's what the commercials are promising me.
Yeah, but the only problem is I am not going to be paying good money to watch that movie.
Oh,
so okay. I will be waiting for the Red Box.
All right, well, I guess I'm going to
see it. Sorry about that, dude. I'm drawing a line in the sand. Will not cross it.
Oh, Drewster's making a stand. Drawing a line in the sand. The name of my new band is... I got nothing.
Your Left Hand?
A.K.A. The Stranger. The Stranger, A.K.A.
My Left Hand.
My Left Hand. See, if we worked together and had a lot of time to edit, we could freestyle.
But it wouldn't be freestyling then.
It wouldn't?
No.
Oh. That's news to me. I've been doing this wrong this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder...
you suck.
No wonder no one lets me in the battles anymore. I keep trying to go to the battle. And like, bro, put the notebook away. I'm like, I'm just... How do you do it? all right, let's take a quick break here. Crespo Disco time. I pulled an oldie but a goodie. Briefly mentioned this during our movie soundtracks, Crespo Disco, from a couple weeks ago. You can check that out, one of our bonus episodes. But the soundtrack for... The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Mm-hmm.
The Neo Morricone soundtrack. One of the best soundtracks ever. So good, in fact, that I did not include it in my five soundtracks.
Nice. Right
of, you know, I still mention it. And I'm going to play a song here, The Ecstasy of Gold. You may recognize this if you're a Metallica fan, because this is a song they use a lot of times as like their coming out to the stage intro music, because it's appropriately epic for what is usually an epic live show.
Because,
mm-hmm. you know. Actually, look at you. You're in a Metallica shirt.
Yeah, they did. They did that song on S&M.
On S&M. Symphonic. No, it's us. Yeah. Us and Them is Symphonic Pink Floyd. Because Pink Floyd did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Although no, that was just a symphonic version of Pink Floyd songs. Something. Anyway, yes. Here we go. Check this out. Ecstasy of Gold, guys. Enjoy it. We'll be back with the second half of the show. Got some emails of movie reviews from listeners. Got some Billy D Death movies. Also got over here, I'm going to read Billy's Mad Max review.
Oh, nice.
That he sent us. Here's a guy wearing versus the world. He lost last week, so we're going to have to, you know, train you up, bone you up, bone up your train. Train up your bone. None of that makes any sense.
What?
And then shit ton of movie news. So here we go. We're going to take a break. Drewster Cogburn, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll be right back.
Cinema Crespo Diso.
Tarantino, Herzog, or Coen?
If one of those three filmmakers started a cult, which one would join?
The cult of Tarantino, the cult of Herzog, or the cult of Coen?
Okay.
What are you joining, Chris?
I'm telling you, I could never join the cult of Herzog.
Oh, you'd kill yourself within a week.
He would if he doesn't kill you first. or with crazy assignments.
Or if you don't go out into the wilderness and get destroyed by nature.
Oh, yeah, he'll just tell you to go battle nature, and then you'll die when a bear eats you. And then he's Herzog. He's like, well, that's the way it is. Nature will always win. This is my religion.
ChrisCrespo.com. Welcome to the Crespo Game.
Alright, here we go. Welcome to Cinema Crespo Diso. I am back with the second half of episode 124 of Cinema Crespo Diso. Hanging out with you, Sky Bringer. How's it going?
What up?
Alright, here we go. Give me one of those. Get the plugs out of the way. Drew, where can people find you on the interwebs?
At Antihero419 all over the interwebs.
And where can people find you IRL?
What?
IRL, yo.
WTF.
Where can people find you IRL?
I don't understand what IRL means.
In real life.
Around?
Okay. You can find him around.
Yeah.
Shake his hand.
I'm around.
And then once you shake his hand, then you can friend him on Facebook.
Perhaps.
Good luck trying to get through the gates of Drewster Cogburn.
Facebook's one of those things, man.
Dexter Cogburn will stop you at the gate and ask for your credentials.
I don't want to be friends with a bunch of weirdos on Facebook.
Yeah, you bunch of weirdos. Stop listening to our show. No, please don't stop. As a matter of fact, if you check us out on iTunes, rate us and review us, please. That helps us a lot. If you can rate us a 5-star show, we know it's a lie, but it helps us out. Trust us. 4 stars, that's cool. 3 stars, we get it. 2.
Don't even bother.
You're just being a dick. 1 star. Why are you even listening still? Like, we're over halfway through the show about, and you're still listening and you don't like it?
Yeah.
You just hate listening now.
Yeah.
In which case,
thanks.
And review us and let us know. Review us on iTunes. 1 star. Let us know why you hate listening. And we'll even read it on the show. Because this, Drew, is the show of the people, right?
Even though there's only 2 of us here.
Even though there's only 2 of us, that's why I'm saying this is the show of the people, right? Only 2 of us here, but the people can chime in. They can hit us up on Twitter at Crespo Diso. They can hit us up on Facebook, Cinema Crespo Diso, right? Or the easiest way, email cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com. Send us your topics, your questions, more importantly, your movie reviews, and we will read them on the show.
We will.
We are. You know what? I decided for sure. New segment on that show for when we get specifically like movie reviews and the tweets and emails and stuff. We've been doing that the whole time, but I got a name for it now, which I'm just stealing from a movie anyway. And it's going to be the Vox Populi segment.
Okay.
All right. Voice of the people. Well, before we do all that, also you can email the show for stickers. CinemaCrestMusa@gmail.com.
We're just giving them away.
We're just giving them away. Costs money. We're just giving them away. Ron in Colorado, your stickers are coming, dude. He asked for them. They're coming.
On the way.
This week for sure. Hit me up on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo. So, before we do the Billy D's Death at the Movies, like I said earlier, we got his Mad Max Fury Road review, mm-hmm. which I'm pretty sure he sent it in for us to do it on the spoiler episode, but he didn't know that we recorded a spoiler episode days in advance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Days
in advance. Speaking of which, this week's bonus episode, not a spoiler one. I don't think Tomorrowland or Poltergeist really, they don't merit their own little episodes, unfortunately. So I think I'm going to have to do a film school, Crespo Diso Film School on Wednesday, which means I got to pick someone.
Or something.
And then do a bunch of research. So
sweet.
Got some work ahead of me. So plan for that Wednesday night world. Before we do that Billy D's Death in the Movies, then let's jump into Billy D's Death on Fury Road. That was your Fury Road, Death of Fury Road intro, which you'll never hear again. Billy writes to us, what is up, guys?
What's up, Billy?
What's up, Billy? I figured you would do a special Mad Max Fury Road episode, and I wanted to get a couple things in.
Too late.
We're still going to use it, though. because I love content. Full disclosure, I'm a Mad Max fan. I loved all of them since I first saw Thunderdome when I was six or something, so it's no surprise that I love this movie from start to finish. I'm still in awe of it. It is truly awesome. When I walked out of the theater, dazed from having three dimensions of I, Mad Max, beamed right into my face, which was the centermost face, I had only one thought. I thought of that stupid Courage Wolf meme. You are the culmination of 4 billion years of evolution and several thousand years of culture. Fucking act like it.
Yes, agreed.
I haven't seen that one.
It's a good one.
Mad Max Fury Road is the culmination of 100 plus years of film history, theory, and technique all coming together for a magnum opus of fire and metal.
Yes.
And if we're only that simple, I would merely love it, but it has to go and be smart and symbolic and make comments on important things.
Uh-huh.
It also dabbles in some classic elements. Like when Rictus Erectus grieves publicly for his brother, I couldn't help but be reminded of a Roman or Greek tragedy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Absolutely. Everything in this movie happens for a reason. Every setup pays off. People are where they are for specific reasons that make up the story. It would have been stupid as hell for Max to have been involved with the escape. I love that he's only there because his little martyr buddy wants to do his martyr thing.
Yeah, and he's the blood bag.
Yeah, and he's just a blood bag. Mad Max Fury Road is important. What will the Fast and Furious franchise do in post-Max era? What will action be now?
Great question.
Good question. Oh, and CG car shit won't cut it anymore. I'm going to need that straight dope now.
Yeah. He is correct. I can't go back.
Can't go back.
I need millions of dollars to be spent on vehicles that are going to be destroyed at the end.
I find it funny. Yeah, absolutely. I find it funny that Fast and Furious 5 in Brazil, they destroyed up to 200 cars in their final action sequence. So they,
good for them.
That's part of the reason why that's still the best of all those movies. Yeah. That one has the most practical effects in it. It is funny how Vin Diesel, when Furious 7 was coming out this year, he was like, this movie's going to win Best Picture. It should win all the awards. It's the best movie this year. When it's not even the best like car-based action movie of the year.
No, best car-based action of the movie of the year goes to Mad Max Fury Road. Best action movie of the year goes to Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah.
Most fire used in a movie this year, Mad Max Fury Road.
Is there anything with dragons in it coming out of theaters? I don't think so.
The Witch Hunter's probably going to have some.
He has fire sword. He has fire swords.
But that's just Vin Diesel playing with his Fast and Furious money.
So, yeah, it truly is. Back to Billy Dee. We're wrapping up here. I can't be impressed by fake jumping cars out of buildings. I need fires and poles, spikes and face masks. Face masks. It's hard to say. Face masks. You tried it at home, people. Danger, I can taste. People forget that computers and practical effects have advanced equally in the last few decades. It takes a truly crazy person to push the boundaries this far and remind us of what is possible with movies. George Miller has always been a favorite of mine, but he has just assured his place in film history. And I am damn glad I was there to see it. Stay cool, Billy Dee.
Agreed.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I mean, it's so good. The action's insane. Proper use of CG, because there's plenty of CG in the movie.
But it's,
you just don't notice it.
Well,
because not used for its own purpose. It's used to enhance the practical stuff.
And you know when it's CG, like, you know, when the cars get churned up in the firestorm and explode in midair and bodies go everywhere. Of course, that's not real.
Right. and stuff like that is very few and far between. Yeah. Big, and that just looked, gorgeous.
It was amazing.
So very impressionistic, abstract, kind of going into the shit.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Giant fire, lightning tornado.
Oh, so good. I'm going to go see that movie again.
Yeah.
I'm going to pause this. I'm going to go right now and go see this movie. No, we'll finish this and go see it another time. All right, well, let's just jump then from Billy Dee's Death on Fury Road to Billy Dee's Death at the Movie. Some people may be asking, especially if this is your first or second time listening, who is Billy Dee?
He's the doc.
He's Doc 1 or Doc 2, depending on your perspective.
Well, depending on how many doctors are in the room.
How many doctors are in the room, he is our New York City show correspondent, senior correspondent up there in New York City, holding it down up there, and also our horror film aficionado with all his immense expertise in a horror film genre. I totally bow down to that. As we all should.
Part-time graphic designer.
Yes, absolutely. He has a website. I forgot what it is. But You can hit him up on Twitter at I Love Blood, and I know it's right there in the bio. And yeah, hire him, New York City people. I'm sure his rates aren't inexpensive.
Sure.
What's he right? What's he chiming to say with the movies?
What's up, guys?
A little bit of gas. What's up, Bailey?
I was intending to see the Poltergeist remake yesterday.
Poltergeist.
But some magic cookies, beautiful weather, and pork sandwiches intervened.
Magic cookies.
We can make some magic cookies.
Okay, yeah, I want some magic cookies.
I mean, it's going to cost a little bit of money. We can make some magic cookies,
oh,
though.
Oh, money.
Yeah. You could say Billy Dee went to die at the movies, died, was reborn, and lived again. You could say that. I'd like to do a superhero TV roundup if it pleases the Crespo Dome.
Superhero TV roundup. You know what? That's fine. These shows are very popular.
They are.
And we're not watching them. Have you watched any of them?
Even
snippets or episodes?
The Daredevil was the only one that we've watched.
Daredevil's the only thing.
And we got a really good drinking game out of it, so.
Yes. Every time you watch Daredevil, every time they say, this city,
or my city,
my city, or even
the city.
I mean, if you really want to get fucked up, you add the city. If you want to be moderate about it, cut out the city. It cuts your drink in half to this or my. You will be
sloshed.
Boy.
Don't watch more than one episode in a row.
Yeah, let's do this. Let's go over the, let's see what Billy thinks about him. And then, you know, I would like to get your input on him too, because you know more about the comic books than I do. That's what a person needs. I don't know everything, but I know you know a lot about comic books. I know he knows a lot about horror movies. I know if I put all these minds together, we can put together something quite substantive. Oh, shit. Billy D. I'm sorry. Went a little long on that one. Billy D. has to wait for a Juice of God. We're in Curse the World. Sparring time. Here we go. This will be a quick one. This will be a super cool one.
Okay.
You did lose last week.
It was Curtis Earth, man.
It was Curtis Earth, and you went 4 out of 5. And of course, he went 5 out of 5.
Of course, he did.
Of course. Spoiler alert for last week's show. But that was a good game, though. It was good stuff. So we're gonna have to have him back soon, just for more. We're gonna have to do like a special trivia off episode, like a bonus episode.
Is that like kicking off? Because I told you what I think about you kicking off in the house.
Hey, the cake. You know, I haven't caked off in years. I haven't seen any of those shows on TV in a while. Now that you mention it, yeah. Now that I think about it, I haven't even seen them on. Did they stop showing those baking challenges?
Cake off. No caking off at the house, Chris.
Gotta
kick off outside.
I mean, no, I got it. I can only do
it's
it on
messy.
The right on the couch.
You can't no kicking off on the couch.
That's where the TV is. How did you mention? I missed those shows. I used to watch all of that shit.
You
now
did.
I don't think they're on anymore at all. Weird. Never even noticed. This game is a fill in the blank, which I almost did last week, but I thought it was just a little too easy for it to you guys. But I think it'll be a good bounce back for you after, you know, that tough loss. Fill in the blank, the name edition. So, for example, if I say Blank's Day Off.
There's Bueller.
Okay. All right. Number one, there's something about Blank.
Mary.
And I tried to make it go from easy to hard. Right. That's correct. Number two, what's eating Blank?
Gilbert Grape.
That's true. That's correct. Number three, it's correct and true. Number three, being Blank.
John Malkovich.
That's correct. Number four, Blank the Professional.
Leon.
Even with the French accent, that's correct. Number five. What about Blank?
Bob.
Correct. Number six. Blank versus the Volcano.
Oh, God damn it. Joe.
Correct. Number seven. Bend It Like Blank. Correct. Number eight. Regarding Blank.
What?
Regarding Blank.
Chris.
Oh, I'm sorry. Regarding Henry. Harrison Ford. Number nine, we need to talk about Blank.
Oh, God damn it. What the fuck is that little bastard's name? Kevin.
Correct. And number 10, Along Came Blank.
I don't know.
Along Came Polly. Jennifer Aniston. Ben Stiller. 8 out of 10.
Not bad.
Not bad, Drewster. Not bad. All right, Billy D, let's get into this. This will be fun. Superhero. How do you put it?
He would like to do a superhero TV roundup if it pleases the Crespo Dome.
All right, let's do it.
Good, because it's all I've got. Confession time. I watch all the superhero shows.
Okay.
All of them. And some are better than others. some border on unwatchability. I'm looking at you, Gotham. And one in particular rises above the rest.
Take that,
Gotham. Why do I watch these shows? Because they are fun, and I like nerd stuff.
Okay.
I don't watch sports, so I have lots of time for nerd stuff.
A lot of sports there in New York.
Yeah, I don't...
Got the Mets, I got the Yankees, got the Rangers, Islanders.
I mean, what? Magic and
what, here? Orlando City. Professional?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Magic and Orlando City.
OC and the Magic. And the Magic have been terrible for years now.
They're awful.
They've been awful. So, we have more time for... So then why don't we watch these shows?
All right.
Because we're not watching that many sports.
Correct. Well, I don't know.
He's got the Brooklyn Nets. The Dallas moving to Brooklyn.
I mean, I like comic books. And some of these I don't really care about at all. So.
Really? Okay, I guess what we'll do each one at a time. And we'll get some more from you, too.
So, The Good. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
I'm not really interested. S.H.I.E.L.D. took a while to...
You're not really interested.
No.
Okay.
S.H.I.E.L.D. took a while to catch up to and eventually overtake its cinematic Big Brother plot-wise. Mm-hmm. All the character development in the MCU happens here for some reason. The finale of this season was more impactful than Ultron in a lot of ways. They also kicked off Phase 3 quietly here, digging super deep into Inhuman mythology. And that whole Inhuman thing makes me fucking angry, too.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know they're doing that because Fox has the X-Men rights.
I know.
It's such a weird reason to be...
And they can say mutant.
Yeah, so weird.
Also good, Daredevil. Daredevil was Netflix's first effort with Marvel. It worked on most levels and did enough to wash away the movie and make me interested in season two. The action scenes were top-notch and the performances were solid across the board. I'd say it's an overall success. I want to see how Netflix is going to build the Defenders and introduce them into the Inhumans and the Avengers.
Yeah, I am. I gotta agree with that. I mean, that was the one that we saw. We talked about it a few weeks ago. I enjoyed Daredevil quite a bit.
Yeah.
I thought it was good. A lot of it is like superhero Law and Order, but without the... There's some little bit of Law and a little bit of Order. He gets to do both.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
He's judge, jury, and not executioner, but he will whoop your ass.
He will whoop your ass. He'll do what cops are supposed to do, which is violate your civil rights at every turn.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I agree with him. And I'm also looking forward to seeing how they try to build all that stuff up into their mini Avengers.
Yeah, it's going
to
be
street
weird.
Level Avengers thing on Netflix. Yeah.
Also on the good list, Arrow.
Okay.
I was resistant to this at first. It took so many, dude, it's actually really good conversations to start it. In a binge watch setting, Arrow goes from good to really good since it can get bogged down in TV grimness. But this is some Batman shit, people. Do not be deceived. I'm pretty sure they are just telling a Silver Age Batman story with the Green Arrow, and it's awesome. Arrow also led to the introduction of the surprise best of them all, The Flash. I did not see this show coming. I liked Barry Allen on Arrow and wanted to see what happens to him. Then The Flash went and got comics on TV right. It's colorful, happy, earnest, well acted, and the effects are good. Finally, effects work is cheap enough to do almost cinematic quality special effects on a regular basis. This would fall apart if it didn't tackle and handle some pretty tough sci-fi stuff with ease and tell one of the best hero origin stories in recent memory. The first season of this show is unlike anything else, with a best episode ever run like no other. Be warned, though, The Flash likes to get cheesy. Bonus, you don't need to watch Arrow to enjoy The Flash.
It is interesting how they did branch off The Flash off Arrow like that, which Arrow, I think, is up to like its third season now. Getting started, fourth one.
Yeah,
very quietly popular.
It's DC, and I don't really care about DC.
That's the thing. It's DC owned by Warner Brothers, so Warner Brothers' channel is a CW.
Yeah.
I have long equated CW with...
awful.
Vampire Diaries, yeah. Dawson's Creek, that type of like fake teen angst, just crap.
Mm-hmm.
Though I remember when WB first started, with all new networks do now, at least starting with the 90s, they courted to the black audience and played a bunch of black shows for a while to start getting the numbers. And then once they had the numbers that they liked, then they changed formats. Yeah. Funny how UPN did that too.
Yep.
Fox, that's how Fox got their start in the 90s. But that's part of the reason why I've never even bothered checking in the show, because I figured automatically it'd be like Smallville, which that show could do horrible things to itself.
Yes, it could.
Garbage.
It is.
Garbage. But, I mean, Billy likes it quite a bit.
Those
are well-regarded shows on the interwebs.
I'm just not a big fan.
Are you a fan of all the characters? Because they're DC characters?
The only DC character I've ever really cared about was Batman.
But he just said Arrow is a secret Batman story.
Kind of. Well, I mean, I'm familiar with the Green Arrow character. He's more of an anti-hero.
Yeah.
So, same as Batman. But Batman's cooler. He's got more money.
It helps to have the money. That makes him part of the 1%, though. Occupy, bro. Occupy Comics.
Whatever.
All right.
The Bad.
All right, here we go. Let's get into the shit.
Gotham.
Oh, yes. Bring him down, Billy.
Ugh.
He wrote that?
Yeah. What a wasted opportunity. If this show would stop fucking around with tween Bruce Wayne and stick to Jim Gordon being a cop, it would be watchable. Then they would have to make that part good. There are moments, though.
Yeah, but I guess if they don't spend any time on Bruce Wayne, then how can they even... I never even got it anyway. We're going to do a Batman show with no Batman.
Nobody cares.
Let's do a
just
show...
Just call it Gotham.
Let's do a show about all the uninteresting characters in our lore.
Or, I mean, just Jim Gordon. I would see Law and Order Gotham City with Jim Gordon as the main police guy. Jim Gordon could play Lenny Briscoe.
Yeah.
And
Batman as Jack McCoy.
Batman's dad could play Jack McCoy.
Well, why can't Batman be in it too? Batman should be in it also.
But he can't, but he's too young. No Batman in it. So it's nothing, this is Law and Order Gotham City.
Someone Batman.
Dun dun.
Batman.
Now we get to the unoffensive.
Okay. Oh, that's it. The only bad one was Gotham. Take that, Gotham.
Yeah. The unoffensive iZombie. My girlfriend liked it enough to watch a handful of episodes. It's based on a comic book, so much so that it actually turns pages on screen.
That's the iCarly sequel, right?
It's cute. The girl is cute. Everything is super cute, but not at all canon to anything at all. The zombies talk and have jobs and sex, and everything is really weird in a Barry Sonnenfeld kind of way.
Oh.
Okay, that's the comic show roundup. Let's do it once a year only. I will, however, talk nerd stuff happily on the internet anytime if anyone wants to. Stay cool. Billy D.
Billy D, hit him up on Twitter at I Love Blood.
At I Love Blood, all the places that matter.
You're at everywhere. I Love Blood everywhere.
All the places that matter.
All the places that matter. I wonder if that includes IRL. Drew, in real life. You don't know.
Nope.
What?
I'm not big on these internet three-letter abbreviations.
Do you know, what is it? ICYMI.
No.
If you see that on a tweet, ICYMI colon and then like a news article.
I got nothing.
You don't, that's in case you missed it.
Okay.
How about, gotcha. I got to write them down. IMHO. Like, Mad Max Fury Road is the greatest movie ever, IMHO.
In my humble opinion.
Boom! Boom! Just like that, Drewster.
I could do that.
Drewster's getting it. Duckster, we can teach a Duckster new tricks. Okay, hit him up on Isle of Blood. And don't let the name put you off. He's a nice guy.
He is.
Very nice.
He just loves blood.
He just loves blood.
But don't we all? I mean, if you love somebody, technically you love blood too.
Blood bags.
That's all we are. We're just giant fleshy blood bags.
Yeah. For the war boys.
Yep.
War boys. War boys. All right, here we go. What's coming up? What we got out here? Remember, if you have your own movie reviews, you can hit us up a myriad of ways.
Like at cinemacrespediso@gmail.com. We have an email from Carol Lanier.
Carol, what's up?
She has a Pitch Perfect 2 review for us.
Nice. Perfect, because we didn't see it. And Drew's slightly interested.
I am.
So here we go. What does Carol got to say?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Carol.
If you loved Pitch Perfect the first time around, you will love this movie as well, because, spoiler alert, it is the same movie. I am not complaining about that, because I am a sucker for mashups and musicals. The people behind this film definitely realized that it worked with the first movie and rolled with it.
All right.
For example, everything that is Fat Amy and the weird Asian girl who has no speaking parts, unless you count the four times she whispered some of the scariest, funniest things I've ever heard, like, all my teeth come from other people.
Yeah.
Add in a German a cappella group, a rehearsal montage, and a hint of Snoop Lion, and you have the glory that is Pitch Perfect 2.
Snoop Lion.
Helpful hint. Wait to rent it. The price of the movie theater is too damn high to watch the same movie twice.
Fair enough.
P.S. This one's for you, Chris.
Huh?
When are we getting a spoiler episode of 50 Shades of Grey?
Oh, shit. That reminds me. Yes. Is it on DVD now?
I don't know. I hope so, because if it is, we need to watch it. I will suffer through this with you, Chris.
I don't know if we're going to do a spoiler episode.
Oh!
But this is from...
Please tell me it is.
That's from Rage
please,
Against Twit.
Please like, tell me!
I'm giving it to Drew to open up. I think it's already open on the other side there. You can use the other end.
Oh, please! Please tell me it's
If you listen to last week's show, we received a poster in the mail for Drewster Cogburn.
It was, it is!
It was a poster for
Medea
Made of Christmas.
And Chris got a 50 Shades of Grey poster!
Someone's idea of a joke.
And...
Was it Send a 50 bookmark. Shades? A 50 Shades bookmark?
Yes. Mr. Gray will see you now, Chris.
Oh, my God. Well, I got a new bookmark now.
Lovely.
And it's got a dude's back on it. His backside.
Spreading the hate.
See, look at that. He's got his back to you in a disapproving fashion. Like, you have to earn his respect enough to turn around and look at you.
You have to earn his domination, Chris.
I have to earn it. So there we go.
Merry Christmas.
So these are going to go.
This is very much in the Christmas spirit.
Yeah, this is a Christmas spirit. Put these two posters together. 50 Shades poster, because I have to watch this for losing this year's Oscar bet. Drew's, Tyler Perry's Made a Christmas poster for losing last year's.
We'll have to put these up in the new studio.
These are going up in the new studio that we'll be moving into very soon here. You're going to take that. Put those together. And we'll keep you safe. Yeah, hysterical. Thanks a lot. It's coming, Carol.
Eventually.
We're going to see it soon. A lot sooner than with the Medea thing. The thing is, with Medea, it took forever because it took them forever to put it out. They waited for Christmas.
They did. They waited like an entire year.
Almost a full year. 50 Shades, if it's not out by now, will be very soon. So make sure to get that over with. If we don't do a spoiler episode, we'll at least talk about it in depth.
We'll have to do a spoiler episode.
It might not warrant one. Like Tomorrowland didn't really warrant one.
No, but if this thing is half as bad as I think it's going to be, it'll warrant us just ragging on it for 30 minutes.
But what if it's half as good as you thought it wouldn't be?
Then, once again, warrants talking about.
Okay. Fair enough. All right, I guess we're going to do one soon, so it'll be coming.
On Facebook.
Hit us up on Facebook, Cinema Crespity. So.
Ron Phillips II.
Yeah, Ron. What's up, Ron?
So, Tomorrowland was okay. It's a solid 6 out of 10 that just didn't fulfill its potential.
All right.
George Clooney was warm and fun, but just shy of what was needed to make the film better.
Mm.
It was an okay romp, but even the kids I saw it with quickly lost interest.
Mm.
The story of hope is weak and the message is a tad overbearing.
It is overbearing, yeah.
You don't need to go to the movie, just Redbox it later. I wonder if Cinema Crespity still agrees.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, definitely use that. It's a Redbox type of thing. Just watch it at home on TV. I do remember now when we saw Avengers. I don't know if I mentioned this on the show before. When we saw Avengers, behind us was a row of like five or six. I'd peg them at 10 years old.
Yeah.
Like 8, 9, 10-year-olds. Young kids, all of them boys. And for all the trailers that they played in front of the movie, like some of them... they responded very vocally at the end of the trailer. Like, oh, wow, I want to see that, blah, blah, blah. After the Tomorrowland trailer, and it was the most recent one, it was over, and the theater was quiet.
Yeah.
And one of the kids said to the other one, like, that looked weird. And the other one was like, yeah, I guess I want to see it. You know, they were very not convinced about it.
Uh-huh.
So I could see. And then when we saw, there were a good amount of, like, families in there with kids and stuff.
I wonder
what they thought. They were probably all pretty bored with it. It is an overbearing message.
Agreed.
That's true. He went 6 out of 10. I'd go more like 5 out of 10 right now.
Yeah.
What else you got over there?
On Twitter, our buddy, Rage Against Twit.
Ah, yes, our friend up there in Schenectady, New York, starring Philip Seymour Hoffman.
He has a Zombievers review haiku.
Oh, nice. Zombievers. This will delight Billy D for sure. He's been pushing Zombievers hard. We're going to have to check it out.
All right. Got Beaver Fever? At Mattis Cabin Must Watch. Great laughs in bad ways.
So, does the at count as a syllable?
Probably not.
Give me that one more time.
Got Beaver Fever.
Got Beaver Fever. Yeah.
Matt is Cabin Must Watch.
Matt is Cabin Must Watch. No, you have to throw the at in there.
Okay, so at Matt is Cabin.
Matt is Cabin Must Watch. There you go.
Great laughs in bad ways.
Great laughs.
In bad ways.
In bad ways. Okay. Just checking those. Yeah, you got to use the at symbol on that one.
All right.
Never thought about that. Using the Twitter handle in the haiku review.
It's good.
Matt is Cabin from SBK should watch Zombievers.
He should.
I'm sure he'll appreciate it.
And apparently so should we. Actually, the little graphic for it on the Netflix.
Uh-huh. The recommended thing?
It's quite funny.
Oh, what the plot description?
No, just the movie poster of it.
Oh yeah.
It's hilarious.
It's a good poster.
Yeah. I mean, it's a chick in a bikini with a knife, and there's a beaver by her crotch.
Yeah, but it's much more artier than Drew describes it as, with the red background.
Vaguely, not really much artier.
The silhouette, silhouette.
Yeah, it's silhouettes with white and black. It's good. I like the poster.
Jumping into the movie news here. Wouldn't it be an episode of the show without some comic book movie related news? The team of Lord Miller, still doing their thing.
Lord Miller.
Phil Lord did an interview recently where he talked about a couple projects that he's working on, specifically movie versions, an animated movie of Spider-Man.
Their animated stuff's been really good.
Yep. And a live-action version of The Flash, but not The Flash that's on TV.
Okay.
But it will still be the Barry Allen as a Flash. Okay. The Barry Allen character. But it's not the same actor. It's this dude, Ezra Miller, who actually had the case. That's the kid from We Need to Talk About Kevin.
Okay.
Actually, weirdly bringing all that back around. And he confirmed that these movies are going to be standalone. We already assumed that the animated one was going to be its own standalone thing. Right? Because they're developing Sony and Marvel. They're doing their own Spider-Man thing now. The kid from Hugo? I think it was in Hugo. And yeah, Hugo and Ender's Game. Mm-hmm. That dude, Asa Butterfield.
Yeah.
Rumor is he is your next Spider-Man, your next Peter Parker.
So they're going really young.
Yeah, they're going high school age. They're purposefully sending them back to high school.
I don't care.
That's what
I am so
that's what
sick
they,
of the fucking Spider-Man origin story.
But they're not doing the origin story. They're just setting it all back in high school. And they're getting the kid that's actually a kid so they can do a couple movies set in that. Because Spider-Man, the Sam Raimi Spider-Man, ended. No, that movie started with Parker leaving high school.
Yes.
And then the sequels, he's an adult. Amazing Spider-Man 2, first movie. Like the first movie, he was in high school, but he graduated. He graduated in the beginning. And then the second movie, he's, you know, post-high school. They want to bring it all the way back. So not necessarily do an origin, but to put it back in that setting where the comic book has been set for like a majority of its run over the years. He's not always an adult.
The beginning.
A huge chunk of the beginning.
Yeah.
And then they always go back to that. That's the one that they're more interested in. Well, that's what they're doing. Still looking for a director.
Because a lot of the time...
But these guys are doing an animated one.
But the best Spider-Man stories are when he's an adult.
Are they? But they did the Gwen Stacy one. It still
but
wasn't
they finally
that good of a
did
movie.
It right, so I don't care about it anymore. They finally did. I was only angry about it because they didn't do it right.
You just wanted to see her die.
Yeah, I just want to see her fight. It's
that's
it,
all.
It is a seminal moment in Spider-Man lore.
Just die
that's
already.
All I have to say.
And now that it finally happened, they can go on and do other stuff.
Exactly.
He did say here. Let me see. Blah 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 blah. Flash is going to be Barry Allen. It's going to be its own thing apart from a TV show. We're more trying to stick with the cinematic universe. It's really its own thing and kind of a standalone movie. We're just trying to think of the best story. So they're not even that concerned with trying to... I mean, I guess this is going to be the Flash that's eventually going to be in the Justice League movies and stuff, right?
I thought they were doing that with the TV show.
Apparently not. See, they don't know what they're doing over there at Warner Brothers in DC. You saw what Marvel's doing. They're trying to reverse engineer it.
Failing miserably.
We got a rumor here. Rumors have been flying for months about Superman, Batman versus Superman,
colon Dawn of Justice.
The Department of Justice. And like one of the rumors from a while ago, Doomsday was going to be in the movie.
Okay.
I don't know how they're going to work
so
that out.
So they're going to kill Superman?
Again?
I'm okay with that.
I think they kill him every other movie he dies.
That's fine. That's how they get rid of Superman and recast them because
well they're not going to recast them. They got their Superman. They're happy with their Superman.
I guess I'm happy with Henry Cavill as
he's
Superman.
All right. He's
but
fine.
Once again, too much time in between movies. Don't really care.
Well, not only may there be some Doomsday, but Lex Luthor, played by Jesse Eisenberg, may rock his crazy like Lex
big,
armor,
big fun suit.
Yeah. His big war suit.
Sweet.
So we may have Batman in his suit, Superman, Lex Luthor in his suit, Doomsday.
What the
somehow fuck? Also tying in Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Cyborg. Yeah, I think that's everyone. Is that everyone?
Is it Darkseid in this movie?
Darkseid? No. No. See, that would just be like, now you're good. Now Drew, you're going crazy. You're going insane. But yeah, I mean, it's all that shit. How are they going to squeeze that into one movie?
It's going to be garbage.
It's not going to make any sense.
I can't wait to bash it. It's going to be good.
That's getting a spoiler episode. All right, let's talk about some movies that are getting sequels. For example, the worldwide hit, World War Z. It's getting its sequel.
I mean, but so they're just going to do like another standalone zombie story?
I believe so.
Then I'm okay with it.
Because it's not really even doing... That's cool. They're not even doing what the book said. The book was its own thing. The movie is its own thing. No. So maybe they're doing something else.
I'm okay with that.
As a release date of June 9, 2017. So 2 years from now, we'll have World War Z 2, which will be another family-friendly zombie movie, I'm sure.
And who is going to be the pull to drag you into this movie? Who's going to be the dude?
I think Brad Pitt may be coming back, is what they're saying.
Now I don't care about the movie
which
anymore.
Will be...
because now it's the continuing adventures of this douchebag. I don't care.
The continuing adventures of this douchebag. Stephen Knight, the guy who wrote most recently Locke. Guy who wrote and directed that movie.
Great movie.
He is writing the screenplay for this, and it's going to be directed by Juan Antonio Bayona.
So is it going to be an hour and a half of Brad Pitt driving in a car through zombie world?
Yeah, trying to talk to people on like on a shortwave radio, on a ham radio.
What the fuck is going on here?
That would be awesome. I'd see that movie.
They're actually so high.
They haven't told the story, and you know they use so little of the book, they can still pull other stuff from that book, because that book is a series of short stories and they can just pick one and expand on it, you know, or it could be a continuation of, you know, didn't he find some sort of cure or something?
He
infected himself, right? He gave himself like a measles, like a booster shot,
whatever, and the zombies run by him now,
right? Yeah, whole movie of him walking through zombie hordes, ZG zombie hordes. That ZGIO. also getting a sequel. A movie I think it's a little underrated. Jack Reacher.
It was fun.
It's not bad. It's definitely got some very interesting, very cool parts about it.
It's got Werner Herzog, bro.
It's got the Werner Herzog with he's missing fingers and he's like...
He's got the lazy eye. He's like, he talks like this.
If you don't want to die, you must bite off your fingers. Now, the guy who directed Jack Reacher is Christopher McQuarrie, who directed Way of the Gun. And he is doing or finishing it up now. No, they're done. It's obviously coming out. The most recent Mission Impossible movie.
Okay.
So, you know, him and him and Tom Cruise worked together on Jack Reacher.
Yep.
He brought him on to do Mission Impossible. While he's doing that, he needs someone to start prepping this movie. So Tom Cruise went back to the dude that did Last Samurai, Ed Zwick. Mm-hmm. That guy is doing your Jack Reacher sequel.
Okay.
Which is kind of weird, because this guy, he's never done a movie like this. His stuff is like, he did Glory,
yeah,
right, with Denzel, mm-hmm, and Matthew Broderick, right?
Yeah.
And Last Samurai, stuff like that. So I don't know how he's going to get Jack Reacher to like infiltrate a group of like another ethnic group and learn their ways and then lead them backwards against the against the white people who sent him.
Sounds
in.
Good.
That's his style, anyway. The sequel will be based on the 18th novel in the Jack Reacher series.
Sure.
Which came out in 2013, called Never Go Back. Here's the description. In it, Reacher heads back to his old military base in Virginia to take a woman to dinner, who is now the commanding officer. Sounds fascinating.
All right.
Jack Reacher goes on a date. By the time he gets there, she has been arrested, and Reacher finds himself being charged with pummeling one guy and fathering a child with a woman.
Nice.
He can't remember either transgression, but gets to the bottom of it with cunning and sometimes brute force. So apparently Jack Reacher is charged with the crime of fathering a child with a woman.
Uh-huh, yes. He's got a baby mama.
How dare he? Doesn't he know there's a population problem?
Or something?
Right, enough with these kids. Having all babies, babies, having babies. Having babies, having babies. More movies getting sequels. Not done with this one. We talked about this before. We got that Blade Runner 2 coming out,
mm-hmm,
directed by Denis Villeneuve, the guy who did Enemy and Prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
They got a cinematographer, and they actually put out a press release that they hired the cinematographer for this film. And let me tell you, Drew, that doesn't happen.
Okay.
No one cares about who's the guy shooting the movie. You know, the guy doing the lighting.
Unless his name is...
Roger Deakins is shooting Blade Runner 2. Roger Deakins, he of many Coen Brothers films and just some of the most gorgeous movies you've ever seen. He'll be doing Blade Runner 2.
Sweet, so it's going to be pretty. It might be a pretty piece of shit, but it's going to be pretty.
It's going to be a gorgeous, maybe baffling piece of shit. We'll see. Remember Now You See Me?
Vaguely?
Vaguely. The magicians that call themselves the Four Horsemen.
Oh, yeah. Jesse Eisenberg and the Redhead. And
Isla Fisher.
Yeah.
Woody Harrelson. Oh. And Dave Franco.
Yeah.
Mark Ruffalo was the guy chasing him down.
Uh-huh.
Turned out he was a magician the whole time.
Yeah. You're going to that word carousel at the end.
Michael Caine's in it.
Uh-huh.
Now You See Me 2 is coming out soon. June 10, 2016.
Okay.
Okay. And it's called Now You See Me, colon, the Not second you. Act.
I was going to say, maybe now you don't.
They blew it by not being able to not. They really fucking blew it, let me tell you. They still have a chance to fix that, though, because even though the second one hasn't come out, doesn't come out until 2016, they've announced they're doing a third one.
Now You Don't.
Right now, it's just Now You See Me 3.
Now You Don't.
They should, right?
They've got, it's how it works.
I mean, if they don't.
It's a two-parter.
If they don't, they really fuck that shit up. The reason that they're getting these sequels, the first movie made $350 million worldwide on an $80 million budget.
Good for them.
So that's why. Joining the cast for his second film, Lizzie Kaplan, the chick from most recently The Interview, just the CIA lady.
Okay.
And Harry Potter, Daniel Radcliffe.
All right.
Has joined the cast there.
Well, he is a wizard.
Actually got a, check that promo shot there. Look at that promo shot for Now You See Me 2. All right, you got Harry Potter with a beard. Lizzie Kaplan there. I think she's replacing Isla Fisher because Isla Fisher's in the picture. And look how despondent Michael Caine looks. Like he's just
Michael Caine's like, I am getting paid enough money to be here.
I'm being paid just enough to show up for this photo shoot.
Yep.
Not enough to smile.
No, correct. I'm being paid enough to be here. Not, I'm not being paid enough to be happy.
And this movie's not good enough for me to override that lack of funds. Mm-hmm. Got to appreciate the guy. He does what he's paid for. So yeah, got that coming. More Nice Seamies. They're doing a remake of Magnificent Seven. Mentioned this earlier on the show a few times.
Yep.
Antoine Fuqua.
Uh-huh.
Guy who did Training Day, yep. Book of Eli. What was the most recent one? Oh, Equalizer.
Yep.
He's behind it. Already has a hell of a cast.
Including Denzel Washington.
Washington will be leading it. Ethan Hawke. Vincent D'Onofrio. Chris Pratt. Jason Momoa was cast, but just recently dropped out. But looks like he's being replaced by Peter Sarsgaard.
Okay.
And he has to play the bad guy of the movie. So, and that's just the beginning of your because it's Magnificent Seven. And we just got Washington, Pratt, Hawke, D'Onofrio. That's only four people. Mm-hmm. The script for Magnificent Seven was written by Nick Pizzolatto, who is the guy behind True Detective.
Okay.
And but it was rewritten by the guy who did The Blind Side, so there might be some casual racism in there. So. And yeah, it's gonna be. I'm looking forward to it.
Interesting.
I'm looking forward to it. Comes out January 13, 2017. Happy birthday, Drew.
Sweet.
Close enough, right?
It's in between yours and
mine. It's within a week.
Might as well be yours, though.
No, it might as well be yours.
Within a week of yours.
It's within a week of yours.
Happy birthday, Chris.
Happy birthday, Drew. 6 months early. 6 months late, you decide. Todd Phillips.
Uh-huh.
Guy made Old School. Hangover.
Yep.
Hangover 2. Mm-hmm. Hangover 3. Mm-hmm. Due Date. Mm-hmm. All these comedies.
Yep.
Hangover 3, kind of arguable.
Yeah.
Well, that's a comedy. This next film, I don't know if it's going to be a straight-up comedy. I don't think it is at all. I'm sure it's going to be a little funny, but it looks like it's going to get a little crazy. He's doing a movie called Arms and the Dudes.
Okay.
Starring Jonah Hill and Miles Teller.
Okay.
And they play a pair of Americans who exploit a legal loophole to get rich via military contracts.
Okay.
But then they set up a deal with the Afghan military and shit goes sideways.
Interesting. It could be very funny.
It could be. It could be. Yeah. Could be funny, could be interesting, could be well. The thing with Todd Phillips, you look at his movies, like the Hangover movies and stuff. Usually when you see a comedy, they're very very brightly lit, plainly lit. No style. They're cinematically, there's very little style to a comedy. They're focusing on the jokes, as often they should be. Todd Phillips goes that extra mile, and he'll actually frame a shot. He'll think of the color scheme. He'll try to make his movie look more cinematic, more dramatic, even when he's making a comedy. Mm-hmm. So for that reason, some of his films, like The Hangovers and Due Date and stuff, whether you like the story or the comedy or not, they're still some of the best-looking mm-hmm. comedies.
Definitely.
It's a lot like, remember the Adam Sandler movie Funny People? Mm-hmm. That Judd Apatow movie? For that movie, he hired Emmanuel Lubezki as his cinematographer. So that movie looks gorgeous. It's like, it's lush and colorful and dramatic, you know, a lot of shadows and shit like that. As opposed to all his other movies, like 40-Year-Old Virgin, just looks like a sitcom.
Yeah.
You know? Not saying that's bad, but some people go that extra mile. Take that extra work. And sometimes it's worth it. Sometimes it's worth it. Going from movies to TV, that still have something to do with movies. Mm-hmm. Hannibal. Did you finish the second season of Hannibal?
Maybe.
I watched like the first couple episodes and then it lost me.
I don't remember.
You remember? I think I'm not going to go back and watch that second season, but I might want to pick up with the third one.
Okay.
Because they are introducing the character of Francis Dolarhyde in the third season of Hannibal.
Okay.
And that is the character, the Tooth Fairy, the main bad guy from Manhunter.
Yeah.
And played by Ralph Fiennes and Red Dragon, mm-hmm. right? Tom Noonan in Manhunter. So it looks like they're finally doing something where they're catching up to those books.
Yeah.
You know, they must have some sort of end game.
I'm sure. Where would hope.
Yeah. Where it's going to end with the events from those books. So I would like to see a season-long TV adaptation of Manhunter, Red Dragon, whatever the book is called. I think that would be interesting.
Yeah.
Wait, this is going. This may be the introduction of the character. Maybe the next season will be that. I don't know. Meanwhile, Hannibal's out there in Europe, I think, mm-hmm. according to this article. I haven't read the news.
Sweet.
I haven't seen the show. And finally, Merry Christmas to me.
Merry Christmas.
Netflix is putting out, well, they're the place where you get to see this Christmas special. Mm-hmm. That is going to be called A Very Murray Christmas.
With the Murrays?
With Bill Murray. Directed by Sofia Coppola.
Oh, nice.
So a little Lost in Translation reunion there. And he will star with a bevy of celebrities, it says here, including George Clooney, Amy Poehler, and Jason Schwartzman.
Nice.
So we get a Rushmore reunion as well. That'd be pretty cool. Coppola and Murray will write A Very Murray Christmas along with Mitch Glazer. Yeah. It says here Magic City. I think that's a thing.
Sure.
The special described as, quote, an homage to the classic variety show featuring Bill Murray playing himself as he worries no one will show up to his TV show due to a terrible snowstorm in New York City.
Nice.
By some holiday miracle, the show goes on. Through luck and perseverance, guests arrive at the Carlisle Hotel to help him, dancing and singing in holiday spirit. Said guests include Paul Schaefer, Julie White, Dmitri Dimitrov. Who the hell is that? Michael Cera, Chris Rock. David Johansen, that's Buster Poindexter. Hot, 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 that guy. Mm-hmm. I wonder if he's going to do that. Maya Rudolph, Jenny Lewis, Phoenix. Who the hell is Phoenix?
Don't know.
Frederick Moulin. Who the hell is that?
Don't know.
Rashida Jones. I like Rashida Jones quite a bit. And Miley Cyrus. That's odd.
Fantastic.
Murray first revealed his plans for the Christmas special last year. Quote, it won't have a format, but it's going to have music. It will have texture. It will have threads through it that are writing. There will be prose. It will have a patina style and wit to it. It will be nice. Coppola added, my motivation is to hear him singing my song request.
Nice.
So there you go. So coming sometime in December. Very Merry Christmas.
Sounds great.
Yeah, I'm down for it. I like Christmas. I like Bill Murray.
Speaking of Netflix, here in like a month or two, Chris,
mm-hmm.
that BoJack's coming back.
Yes, July. Sometime in July, I saw that on Twitter. BoJack season 2. Yes. For sure looking forward to that.
Oh, dude, it's a funny-ass show.
It's a good show. Mr. Peanut Butter,
yeah.
Todd,
mm-hmm.
Cat Agent Lady.
Yes.
Who does cat things.
Uh-huh.
And of course,
BoJack Horseman.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Yeah, but that's still. Yeah, Netflix is doing their things, man. They're
doing good stuff.
Good for them. Good for the Netflix. We appreciate it, guys. We appreciate the service for the money that we pay,
mm-hmm.
that I pay.
Drew's not paying. I don't pay shit.
No, you don't pay shit.
I got that Xbox Live so we can get Netflix.
Oh, true. Fair enough. I'm actually thinking about going back to the DVD service so I can get access to those movies again, because there's just so many more movies on DVD. It's like, I've been thinking about it. All
right.
I've been thinking about it for a while. I'll update people on that if it ever happens.
All right.
Good story, bro. So that's the end of our show. Thank you, Drew.
Welcome.
Appreciate it. Happy Memorial Day, people. We'll be back with episode 125 next weekend. Will we have a guest? I don't know.
Probably not.
Maybe not. I don't know. We got swag bags over here.
Yeah.
Gotta get something for the bucks.
I mean, this place is gonna be kind of a lot more broken down by then.
Nah, that's fine. The studio setup will still be here.
Will it?
Yeah. To record the show. Gotta record.
Say so.
Yeah. I do. All right, we'll be back, guys. Remember, rate us and review us on iTunes. Hit us up, cinemarequestmedia@gmail.com. Support R-rated movies. Be cool to each other. And shout-outs, big ups to the East Stains Massive. Check 1, 2, check. Hello, welcome to the show. Check them levels. Levels.
Welcome to the show.
Check 1, 2. 1, 2. 1, 2. Hello. Check
hello.
1, 2.
Hello, welcome to the show.
Check 1, 2. Hello, here we go. Welcome to Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host.
Hello, here we go. Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
Hello, here we go. Welcome to hello. See, you got to spread out the first ones. Hello, here we go. Welcome to Cinema Crespediso. Hello, here we go.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
There's got to be something else in there.
The first one, I had it the first time.
You had it the first time, Drew.
I lost it. How did I lost it, man?
Welcome to Crespediso. We got to come up with a new intro. We got to come up with an original intro. We'll just scat beatbox the whole thing. Like John Davis.
It sounds even worse.
Doesn't it sound terrible?
It does.
Yeah. Doesn't it sound wonderfully horrible? But it made him so much money.
That was the 90s, Chris.
Oh, the 90s.
90s was a different time and place.
I miss the 90s. Not really.
Do you? Well, do you? I mean, it was a good time for everybody. I mean,
economic prosperity.
Yeah, it was the last time.
Peacetime.
Yeah, both those things. It was peacetime, and for the first time, well, for the last time in a long time, America's economy was growing.
Yeah. But was it though, or was it an illusion?